This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. The pastor, an American, held captive in Turkey. Major development in his case.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
European Center for Law and Justice at the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. The European Center for Law and Justice would like to draw the Council's attention to Pastor Andrew Brunson, an American citizen who is in prison in Turkey despite having committed no crime.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Christians and other religious minorities have increasingly become the targets of detention and deportation and are subjected to excessive regulation simply because of their faith.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got a bit of a breaking news situation we want to get you fully involved in, and that is we represent a pastor who's actually from North Carolina but has been ministering in Turkey for literally 23 years. And in Turkey for 23 years, gets picked up by the Turkish authorities. And when he gets picked up by the Turkish authorities, he is put in jail. His charge, well, they always do it as national security. He has been in jail now for months, and there are no criminality here. Because there never is criminality with these regimes. This is a crackdown on Christians. It's also a political case. He's basically a political prisoner. But I say this because it's important for everybody to understand that we have a large office globally, and part of that office engages in advocacy, and that advocacy includes situations like an American pastor held in a foreign country's prison. We've handled a number of those literally all over the world. This particular one, though, is an individual born in the United States, an American citizen by birth, has been ministering for 23 years, and has been picked up in this post-coup sweep that's been going on in Turkey. But there has been a major breakthrough. But we'll be joined by two of our lawyers in just a moment. But Jordan, you handle a lot of these international cases involving pastors. We've got both congressional action and legal action happening here.
Yeah, and a number of U.S. senators and members of Congress over, nearly 50 or more.
Yep.
When you combine both the senators and Congress, and very bipartisan. And this is a time when the Turkish relationship is being tested because of the conflict in Syria and Iraq, where the U.S., we work with the Kurds and the Peshmerga. The Turks see them as an enemy, and now we've got Marines on the way there.
Yep.
So Turkey is at a place where it needs a good relationship with the U.S., or else things could – I mean, listen, Turkish military versus U.S. military.
Not a close call.
You understand what happens there very quickly to a lot of Turkish military members. And we don't want that. They're a member of NATO. We shouldn't be fighting each other. That being said, it's gone on way too long, but this is very encouraging news.
And just moments ago, I mean literally about 45 minutes ago, our Gregor Pupinic, who is our executive director and general counsel for our European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France, appeared before the United Nations to make an oral intervention for the release of this pastor. I want to play a portion of that for you right now. Take a listen.
The ECLJ urged this council to call upon Turkey to honor its obligations. We further request that the UN make every effort to ensure that Pastor Brunson is not only treated with great care, but that he is released and allowed to return home without delay. Thank you, Mr. President.
We also believe that the Trump administration Secretary Tillerson is about to engage this. It's important. I wanted to, you know, we're on a Friday here. It's the end of the week. I want you to know that as we talk about so many issues, we also talk about individuals that are being persecuted for their faith. And this is one. Andrew Brunson, pastor from North Carolina, been ministering in Turkey without any problems for 23 years. And our European Center for Law and Justice, right there at the UN moments ago, pleading for his defense. All right, we're going to come back from the break. We'll have more on this case and more on some other topics as well. We'll take your calls, take your concerns, take your comments.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines are open again. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Also, you can get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. I'm looking at some right now. We'll take some of those during the break. We don't ever stop on Facebook and Periscope and ACLJ.org. We keep going. But again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, to have your voice heard today.
We're going to be back with your calls. Again, 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
It's an unprecedented bureaucratic coup undermining our security. The Obama administration took action to empower the entrenched bureaucracy to subvert our national security right before leaving office. It has led to dangerous leaks, criminal violations of the Espionage Act, and the creation of a shadow government to sabotage the new administration. This dramatically endangers our national security and has led to dangerous classified leaks. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. We're filing legal demands of the bureaucracy to, number one, expose the actions of the corrupt Obama administration, two, stop the soft coup and the rampant leak of classified information, and three, protect our national security. Add your name to our new petition to stop the shadow government and protect our national security. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we have a pastor named Andrew Brunson from North Carolina that is being held in jail in Turkey. He is an American pastor. He's been ministering in Turkey for years, 23 years, and he's held in jail. We're taking your calls and comments about this case, 1-800-684-3110. 45 minutes ago, our Gregor Pupinik, who is our general counsel and executive director of our European Center for Law and Justice, was before the United Nations. So we don't just talk about these cases. We're engaging on these cases. We've got a major story in USA Today about the case. That's a very positive development. We've got joint letters from Congress, bipartisan letters from Congress, and our teams have been working on it. One of our senior lawyers who's been in charge of this case, Cece Heil, is with us in the studio. And Cece, I think it's important to start with what we've got here, the facts of this case, because we haven't talked about this one a lot. We've been working, you know, sometimes you work quietly, diplomatically, and then when it gets to a certain level, and this one did, because the pastor got transferred from, which unfortunately happens a lot, a deportation proceeding, which if he was deported would have been a win, to an actual jail. But let's kind of set the stage for the case here, Cece.
Right. July 15th, the failed coup that happened last year, it just kind of started a sweeping of Erdogan going against anybody who he thinks is a threat. And some Christians kind of got caught up in that. So on October 7th, Pastor Brunson went to Migration Management thinking he was going to get his visa extended, and he was detained. He was detained.
Did they give him a reason for detention? We know what they've charged him with. We'll talk about that.
It was threat of national security, a national security threat. So it was just general. So they held him with no access to his attorney, no access to U.S. consulate. And then after 63 days there, transferred him to prison.
Okay, so Jordan, we know that every time, in every one of these cases, all over the world, it's always national security threats.
Oh, and when...
No evidence of this, of course.
That, again, changes the entire case. So when you're charged with being a member of a terrorist group or armed group and national security crimes, this is what happened to Saeed Abedini. This is what happened to Jason Rezaian. This is what happened to Amir Hekmati in Iran. This should not be happening in Turkey. That's Iran. We're not talking about Iran, China, or North Korea here, or Syria.
We're talking about a NATO ally.
We are talking about a NATO ally who was very close to even joining the European Union, but is part of the European Council.
Right.
And the European Court of Human Rights. They're subject to all of that. And they've moved away from Europe. At the same time, they're still part of NATO. And we just have to understand here that these kind of charges are totally baseless, but it allows them to, one, they monitor, he has no attorney-client privilege. So unlike Iran, yes, he gets to meet with his attorney,
yeah,
but they record it.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Turkey. And that's because they're still under a, quote, state of emergency from that coup, which people question whether or not was even a real coup.
Well, I was going to go right to that. So, this to Andy Economo, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, one of our leading experts on Turkey from a policy standpoint. We have a book coming out on Turkey called Burning Bridges. More of an academic book, but we're going to get it to people. So the post-coup, first of all, was that coup? We don't even know if that was a real coup.
Well, Jay, I agree with the implication that Jordan just made. Whether this was in fact a coup or whether it was a staged coup that was engineered by Erdogan specifically in order to do what he ultimately did, and that's to purge the military, including the army and the navy of Turkey, of hundreds and indeed thousands of officers who he suspected were not sufficiently loyal to his regime, and indeed also has imprisoned at least, that I know of, 150 journalists in Turkey that we have recently seen. So, there's a real question in my mind whether there was really an uprising or whether this was something.
But Erdogan clearly used the uprising to crack down on what he calls dissidents. And if you're a Christian or Jewish, for that matter, you're a dissident in Turkey. That's the way it is right now. We're getting a lot of comments, by the way. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. We're also getting comments coming in.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know, Kimberly just said, can you give us exact details of Pastor Brunson? And also, an interesting comment came in from Diane. She said, if you're an American citizen out of the country, not part of the military, what's the reason to getting for detaining or imprisoning?
Well, I'll give you the reason for detaining. There was no reason for detaining. This was a sweep that they did afterward. He'd ministered there for 23 years. But let's go ahead with some more of those facts. What was he doing there, Cece? I mean, right. People need to understand what was his role in Izmir,
right.
Turkey?
For 23 years, he pastored a church in Izmir completely peacefully with no problems with the government at all. So raised his family there, three children there, just no problems. So this was a shock to the entire family.
There was no pre-arrest and there was not an investigation.
None. And that's why when they went to migration management, they didn't think there was anything wrong.
So then you look at this thing, Jordan, from our political perspective. You mentioned this in the last segment. Let's talk about this again. We've brought it together through our offices, our government affairs offices, wide bipartisan support here.
That's right. 78 members of Congress. That includes senators and House members. But most importantly, and this is bipartisan, very bipartisan. So we have both the Senate chairman, so it's Bob Corker, because Republicans are in charge, of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. But we also have the ranking member, Ben Cardin, who is a Democrat. We have on the House side, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Congressman Ed Royce. He's the chairman, a Republican. But we also have Elliot Engel, a very outspoken liberal member of Congress, who is the ranking member. So these are major players with the congressional relationships that we know Turkey is engaged in, because they are seen as a NATO ally. They have a lot of communication back and forth with members of Congress. They still rely on the U.S. I don't think they can totally toss aside the U.S. relationship. Yep. So this bipartisan amount, 7-8 members of Congress on behalf of an American pastor who spent 23 years there ministering to people without any issues.
All right, we're going to take a phone call in a moment, but I want to play for you. This is, folks, I want you to understand what we do at the ACLJ and our European affiliates, our affiliates around the world. Our general counsel, chief counsel of our work there, Grigor Pupinic, just appeared, I mean, literally about an hour and 20 minutes ago, before the Council of the United Nations in Geneva. Here's what he said.
For 23 years, Pastor Brunson has worked openly on behalf of the people of Izmir as pastor. On October 7th, he was arrested and later told that he was considered a national security risk. He was soon transferred to a detention center and held for 63 days, despite no evidence having been presented against him.
And to this day, Andy, there's been no evidence presented against him. But again, for people that don't understand Turkey, explain briefly, then I want to take a call, Logan, what the regime's like over there.
Well, the regime is repressive. It is repressive. The patriarch of the Greek Orthodox Church in Constantinople, which is now called Istanbul, said, if you want to know what repressive means, he said, I feel that every day I am being crucified. Mm. And this is exactly what Christians, what minorities, including Jewish minorities, other minorities have been feeling with respect to Turkey and the regime. There is no judicial system as we know it, as we understand it, as we appreciate it, and as we are honored to have it in Turkey. It's a unitary government that is dominated by Erdogan right now and his sidekick, the Prime Minister Yildirim, and I don't think that there is any way that I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel for Turkey. I'm very apprehensive about that. Although I think with the Trump administration, the relationships are sought to be, are going to be better than they are with Obama.
I think we're on the threshold of, I think we're close to a release here, actually. I see some movement. I think the Turkish government, because of the Trump situation, the new president, and I think that all impacts this. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, let's go to Wanda, who's calling in Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Wanda. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering, and you have answered that question during your comments about why would they detain this pastor who's done nothing. But more importantly, the prime minister there has seemed to really taken a turn because, you know, he was romancing with joining the European Union for so many years. And then all of a sudden, it was just like this abrupt shift. And then there was nothing there.
Well,
and it was almost like schizophrenia.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, no, it's become an Islamic regime. I mean, this is not the Turkey of Ataturk. Right. It's an Islamic regime there. But I want to put a real face on this. Do we have a picture of Andrew Brunson for our audience on Facebook and Periscope? Do we have one with his family? If not, I want to get that too. Here he is. That's the pastor. He's been there 23 years. Tell us about his family. Because I want our audience, our radio audience, to understand these are real people that have been ministering there for 23 years. His kids were born there. He's an American born in North Carolina, raised in North Carolina, but been over there for 23 years. Tell us about his family.
He has three children and, of course, his wife. And their lives have just been absolutely destroyed because of this, as you can imagine.
Yep.
Two of the children are in college over, you know, in the United States, and one is still in high school. And they're struggling without their father.
Yep.
And they don't understand, and this is a country that, you know, they loved and have friends in and have ministered in. And now their father's being held with no answers, no access, just nothing.
And we are before the United Nations on that case right now. I mean, literally right now. And Jordan, you've done those interventions. We only got a minute here. You've done those interventions before. They can have a big impact to bring attention to it. And it happened to be the same day the USA Today article came out. So God's timing on that was great.
Yes, and it's embarrassing for those countries, especially ones like Turkey, who don't want to be considered like Iran. They don't want to be treated as part of axis of evil kind of countries. They are members of NATO, for goodness sakes, and the Council of Europe. That being said, you draw attention to it. You put pressure on their ambassadors. Obviously, Turkey is run by a strong man, but the recent statements coming out of their leaders now, they wouldn't make those statements without his approval, and they're going to fast-track this, and that should be a good sign if we keep the pressure up.
All right, and that's what we're going to try to do. All right, Logan, we'll take more calls when we come back from the break.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open for you, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to those of you guys on hold right now as well. You can also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's an unprecedented bureaucratic coup undermining our security. The Obama administration took action to empower the entrenched bureaucracy to subvert our national security right before leaving office. It has led to dangerous leaks, criminal violations of the Espionage Act, and the creation of a shadow government to sabotage the new administration. This dramatically endangers our national security and has led to dangerous classified leaks. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. We're filing legal demands of the bureaucracy to, number one, expose the actions of the corrupt Obama administration, two, stop the soft coup and the rampant leak of classified information, and three, protect our national security. Add your name to our new petition to stop the shadow government and protect our national security. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Since it's a Friday, we wanted to talk about a case that we're handling at the United Nations. Turkish Prime Minister considers speeding up the trial of a jailed American pastor, which I think, by the way, is a good sign. Shouldn't be tried at all. It's trumped up charges. I mean, it's national security. It's nonsense. But I need to be clear here. He's an American citizen held in jail in Turkey, a NATO ally. And Andy, Turkey is technically, I mean, legally, under the international law, Turkey's an ally, and they're holding one of our guys.
This is unbelievable. And I think one of the things that you said earlier, I think, bears repeating, and that is the fact the Turkish Republic, the modern Turkish Republic, was founded in the 1920s by Kemal Atatürk as a secular state. It was non-Islamic in the sense that it was not part of the old caliphate. It was supposed to be a state that recognized all the religions free and equal. And what we have in Turkey today is not the state that the father of modern Turkey envisioned or established.
But, Jordan, they are a NATO ally. This is why we have to handle this differently than we're dealing with, for instance, Saeed Abedini in Iran or Yousef Nardakhani in Iran, or when we're dealing with the Sudanese, which, by the way, we've had a couple of releases on some of those pastors. But you got to handle this carefully.
Yes, these are not people on the executive order as state sponsors of terror that we're trying to stop. I mean, Turkey is, again, they've had their own problems with ISIS attacks. They have had their own refugee problem in Turkey. We saw it when we were there last time we were there with Andy. Just so many people on the streets, some fine people that were just refugees. But within that group, you see a lot of women and children. You know there's a lot of men there. Who knows what those men are up to? You know what they're not doing? They're not working. They're not going to school, and they don't have much money, and they're literally street people. And so they've got a situation where we should be allied, and they shouldn't be doing this to Americans, especially because he's saying, send me home.
Deportation here is a win.
He's not trying to be, again, everybody tries to make these out to be zealots.
Yeah.
These typically are not.
Right.
That he was there for 23 years without issue. Now they've got an issue with him. Okay.
All right.
I'll go home.
We're going to take a call. Let's get a call ready, but I want to go to CC on this. Let's define what a victory is here. I think that's important for people. What's a victory here?
Absolutely. Deportation. We want him safely back in the United States.
That's it.
That's the victory. We want our pastor.
We know the charges are bogus.
Absolutely.
It's just getting him back home.
Yes.
So that's what our goal is here, is to get this pastor back home. And our team was at the United Nations today. CeCe's been working tirelessly on this case, as has our Office of Government Affairs. So it's all working. But again, so we've got to be experts in a lot of areas, folks. You see that. And a lot of international areas. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls here.
Yep, let's go to Terrell, who's calling online, too, in Montgomery City, Missouri.
Hi, Terrell.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What I don't understand is I can't think of that.
All right, we'll get back to you in a moment. Let's do this. Let's go to take another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Carmen, who's calling in Arizona.
Hey, Carmen.
Hi there. I just have a comment and maybe a question. Well, the question is, if you do automatic monthly donations and it's during the double up.
And a matching challenge, yes, those all count. Okay. Thanks, Carmen. Did you have a question about the case?
Wait, I have a question.
Yep.
Yeah, yes, about the case. Since we believe that this is being led by ISIS, is there any way that we could, have Trump, say, okay, we can't do the same thing they're doing. I understand.
No. Here's what you got. This is not an ISIS situation in Turkey. They are Islamists. But I think we need to be clear here. There's different versions of Islamists that we're dealing with. So, Andy, describe this Islamist regime, because it is an Islamist regime, clearly.
It is an Islamist regime.
But it's not
regime.
ISIS. They're fighting ISIS,
They
want to be the caliphate.
The vision that Turkey has is the reestablishment of Turkey as the Ottoman Empire that folded up in 1918 at the close of World War I. And what Erdogan, the president, is seeking to do is to establish himself and his country, the Republic of Turkey, as the new caliphate and the new Islamic center with his vision of Islam, which is a rigid vision of Islam. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And so one of the things that he does is he cracks down on the minorities, including the Christians, and he takes this poor pastor who's been there for a quarter of a century,
yep,
ministering without any incident whatsoever, and then labels him as a threat to the Republic and threatens to put him in on trial and heaven knows what else to do to him.
I would just point out, following up with what Andy said, this used to be a country that was so worried about the rise of political Islam,
yep,
even though it was run by Muslims and people, and some
very
were atheists even. I mean,
yep,
they were very secular, but they had majority Muslim population, but they were always worried about the threat of radical Islam. Now, under Erdogan, they're not just cracking down on Christians who are very peaceful and a small minority, but his wife, by putting on the headscarf.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
That used to be illegal. Now, I mean, you could question whether that's right. That used to be illegal in Turkey. That's how concerned they were about radicalism, and that's the shift that we've seen over the last
eight
years.
So they have their own version. Believe me, Turkey's got their own version of a radical ideology. All right, Logan, you had a good comment, you said.
Yeah, just this comment came from Shirley. It's a question. She said, do you think Pastor Andrew is a pawn being used to show power?
Well, here's where he's a pawn. We have in the United States a Muslim cleric named Fethullah Gulen, who is accused by the government there of orchestrating that coup. And we've been concerned that they were going to use him as a bargaining chip, as we saw with our situation with the hostages in Iran. The good news is, I think today, according to the USA Today article and what you've been able to determine, they are now officially not linking those cases.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
The official link, they have separated them. But what's interesting, if you read that whole article in USA Today, when they were asked about Brunson, the exact next comment was about Gulen.
But they were concerned that they were linking it together.
That's absolutely right. The formal statement is these are two completely separate issues.
Which we've been saying all along. If Fethullah Gulen runs a multi, I think maybe billion-dollar worldwide, even in the United States, hundreds of schools, in Turkey, lots of newspapers and media outlets. I don't know if he was linked to any kind of violence at all. We have no idea. I don't take a position on him whatsoever. But this is a guy who leads millions upon millions of people with billions of dollars. Andrew Brunson had a small church in Izmir, Turkey, for 23 years without issue.
Yep.
He is not a mass political leader. And to even try and make that comparison is absurd. And I'm glad they're now realizing.
I think this is the.
Though they always have to say they want Gulen back.
Yep.
They are admitting he is not equal.
All right.
As we go to a break, Jessica just asked, can you please explain what the caliphate is?
So the caliphate is basically their headquarters. This is where they establish their territory within Islam. They call it the caliphate. That's what ISIS is trying to do in Raqqa. That is their caliphate. And it's a territorial conquest. So the reason you've got a conflict between the Turks, who are Islamic, and ISIS is, Andy, and we only got a minute, less than a minute here, they're fighting for the caliphate. Who's going to be the caliph?
Who is going to be the caliph or the caliph
and
succeed to the sultan?
Yep.
Because that's the model that they're using, as was the last of the sultans, Abdul Hamid, who was deposed with the end of the First World War. Now they're all seeking to see who is going to succeed them in their brand of Islam.
So then you've got two Islamic regimes fighting with each other. And who's in the middle of this? Pastor Andrew Brunson. Pray for him. Pray for his family. Our team's working hard. It's a good time for you to join the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. It's a matching challenge month. That means any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. It helps us fight cases just like this pastor and fighting for him and his family and getting him out of Turkey. We're working on that, and I think we're seeing some progress right now. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes, Logan.
That's right. You can join us on 1-800-684-3110 if you want to call. But also, you can join us on ACLJ.org, Facebook, and Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow, broadcasting live there right now. If we do lose you here, it's archived later on the ACLJ app, as well as the Jay Sekulow Live podcast and everything at ACLJ.org.
It's an unprecedented bureaucratic coup undermining our security. The Obama administration took action to empower the entrenched bureaucracy to subvert our national security right before leaving office. Add your name to our new petition to stop the shadow government and protect our national security. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
start the broadcast off with. By the way, been multiple challenges now to the Trump executive order, the travel ban, that has been challenged in Hawaii now, but also Washington State is amending their complaint and going to continue it with the same judge. The briefs are not due until Monday on the travel ban, as it's called, or the we think it's just it's extreme vetting is what it is, which is what needs to happen. So this, they kind of make up these terms. But the reality is the trial will be, or the hearings will probably be next week. We are going to be filing our briefs Monday or Tuesday. So I expect next week this is going to be big news again. But we've got some news in that we have an American pastor who is being held by our NATO ally, Turkey, which is now an Islamist regime again under Erdogan. The pastor is guilty of nothing. He has violated no law. He's been there for 23 years. I'm going to ask C.C. Howell, senior counsel at the ACLJ, who's working on this case, to quickly go through the facts of the case. We do have some very positive movement politically going on here, so we're encouraged. And our Gregor Papunik was right, I mean, literally an hour ago, before the United Nations intervening on this pastor's behalf. But let's get, again, let's kind of reset the facts. We got a picture up for Facebook and Periscope of his family we've had up. But let's go ahead and talk about what exactly, this is American, by the way, we're talking about.
Pastor Brunson's been held for over 150 days in Turkey and now in a Turkish prison, originally in migration management, where he was not allowed access to an attorney or U.S. consulate officials. Now, since he's been transferred to an official prison and charged with membership in an armed terrorist organization, he has been allowed access to his attorney. But because of the state emergency decree, all those conversations are recorded. If she takes any notes, they copy them. So there isn't any real chance to plan. The file has been sealed. We have no evidence. We have no way to base any kind of defense because we don't know what the issue is.
And Jordan and Andy, quickly here, there is no their judiciary is not an independent judiciary like we think.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I think more than half the judges are now in jail. So Erdogan, like the generals, about half of them are in jail. So are the judges. So they are not independent, which means when political leaders tell them speed this up or let this just get this off our table, we don't need this distraction. Because this all started out at the local level.
Yeah.
It's now reached the prime minister.
That's a good sign.
Yes, because if he's speaking, he's not going to say something that's going to get him in trouble with Erdogan. There's no way.
Right.
I mean, Erdogan is a strong man. So it's like if the deputy to Putin's speaking, you know.
Putin's approved it.
They're okay with it. And so to speed it up, this is a very good sign. We want to make sure they don't speed it up into a guilty verdict.
Right.
But it doesn't appear that way based off the words.
Yep.
He got pressed on this by U.S. press. CeCe was in the interview with USA Today. And so it's now reached that mass where we've got the leaders of Turkey, a huge country, having to answer for this.
So, which, Andy, you've been to Turkey a lot. It took months to get it done. But the fact that we've now got Erdogan responding and the prime minister responding, the president responding, this is a very positive development.
Well, I think Jordan is right when he says when the prime minister Yildirim is speaking with respect to this issue, he is really a mouthpiece for Erdogan, who is the strong man and the, if you will, the dictator of what's going to happen or not happen in Turkey today.
We've been before the United Nations, literally, folks. I'm saying this an hour and 15 minutes ago in this case. Our Gregor Papunik made an oral intervention. Can we play one of the sound bites from that? I think we should. Let's play one. Let's go ahead and do it.
On December 9th, he was falsely charged with membership in an armed terrorist organization. Pastor Brunson, detention appears to be related to his work as a Christian minister, making his imprisonment a violation of both Turkey constitution and international commitments.
So you've got a unique policy situation here as we go into a break. Turkey, unlike Iran, unlike Sudan, is not on our list of sponsors of terrorism. In fact, they are on another list. It's called NATO. They are a NATO ally. But ask yourself this question. A NATO ally holding a U.S. American pastor hostage, basically? But now we've got movement. And I'll tell you something. I think the fact that the Trump administration in there is going to make a big difference on this case. A really big difference on this case. When we come back from the break, we're going to take more calls on this and some other topics as well.
Absolutely. 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead and get your comments in. Some interesting ones definitely coming in on Facebook and online on Periscope. But if you want to, stick around on Facebook or join us on Facebook right now. Exclusive video coming up at the break.
It's an unprecedented bureaucratic coup undermining our security. The Obama administration took action to empower the entrenched bureaucracy to subvert our national security right before leaving office. It has led to dangerous leaks, criminal violations of the Espionage Act, and the creation of a shadow government to sabotage the new administration. This dramatically endangers our national security and has led to dangerous classified leaks. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. We're filing legal demands of the bureaucracy to, number one, expose the actions of the corrupt Obama administration, two, stop the soft coup and the rampant leak of classified information, and three, protect our national security. Add your name to our new petition to stop the shadow government and protect our national security. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We're hitting an issue that we're concerned with, and that is the United States' relation with Turkey, which has become pretty much an Islamic regime. Now, they're not the same Islamic regime as ISIS. There was a confusing caller on that, and not that she was confused, but it's understandable because these are inter-Muslim conflicts, Andy. Dr. Andrew Economo is a senior counsel for the ACLJ, an expert on Turkey, but there are inter-Muslim conflict between ISIS and Turkey.
Right.
And yet it's Turkey that's holding our guy.
Well, each one is sort of scrambling for power in the Middle East and who is going to be the leader of the Muslims in the Middle East. And Erdogan in Turkey, the president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has made a determination, and it's pretty obvious, that he is going to become the leader of the Muslims in the Middle East. He is going to be the new caliph. He's going to be the new sultan. And Turkey is going to consolidate all the power of the Muslims under his aegis, if you will. And that's exactly what he's doing in this case. And why he has picked on an innocent American pastor who's been there for a quarter of a century to make his statement is beyond my ability to comprehend.
Right, let's go ahead and grab a phone call here.
All right, let's go ahead. A lot of people have been holding for a little while. Let's go to Scott in Dallas with an interesting comment about that.
Hey, Scott.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if you work with President's staff, the State Department, and how that works.
Okay, so I will let Jordan and Cece address this, but let me give you just a quick overview. All of the above. So even before the president was sworn in, we worked with the transition team to get this on the radar screen. It does not move quickly, especially as the president does not have, as Jordan said, the deputies in place. But the fact that you've got a strong leader in the United States is already, we're seeing fruit from that, helping our leadership.
Yeah, I mean, there's a potential situation developing. This one complicates it, even though they are a NATO ally, because of the war on ISIS, which has all these different players, including Turkey, but also a group that Turkey considers a terrorist group, which we rely on heavily, the Peshmerga. We arm them.
Yep.
We support them.
They don't like them.
Kurdish. Not only do they not like them, they've threatened to go to war with them in Syria and Iraq. And the U.S. is saying, if you do that, we will fight you. So this is, again, gets to high-level diplomacy.
You've got to be thinking nine-dimensionally here, folks. Nine-dimensionally.
If you're Turkey right now and you got Donald Trump sending Marines in, which he has, and threatening to basically take out your military that's there, which would happen in about 5 minutes or less, you may not want to keep an American pastor. You may want to get on the better side of Donald Trump and members of Congress, because they have a very important role because of Donald Trump's lack of political experience. Rex Tillerson, again, just coming in without deputies. Yep. He's relying on, I guarantee you, Bob Corker is very close to Donald Trump. He almost he was up for Secretary of State, but he stayed in the role as
foreign relations chair.
He's got the ear of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's relying on these folks.
So they, CeCe, they had, the caller asked, and I think it was the right call about our involvement on multiple levels here. Both also, we're doing this internationally at the United Nations. I need to add that, so it's not just domestic. But go ahead.
We've stayed in constant contact with the State Department and especially with the our embassy over in Turkey. So Ambassador Bass is still there, and he actually was the one that hand-delivered the Member of Congress letter to Erdogan. So we have continued those relationships. The transition has been somewhat of a deterrent for us, just slowing things down because, as Jordan said, that people aren't in place.
Yep.
But that has not stopped us from staying in contact with them, with staying in contact weekly, if not daily, with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and House Foreign Affairs Committee.
And at the same time, our office in Strasbourg, France, is on top of this, and it was actually at the UN today. So we are working this on multiple fronts. But again, this is, you're dealing with an Islamic country that happens to be a NATO ally. So this is a, you know, you got to handle this thing politically in different veins. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right.
Unless you got a comment.
Yeah, no, let's go to Maria in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Jay. God bless you guys for your work. My question is regarding the Pastor Brunson. How come he is being targeted? Aren't there any other Christian pastors also in Turkey?
Yes, and they're all being targeted. I mean, there's a lot of targeting going on right now in Turkey. I mean, Turkey, you got to understand something. These so-called coups that they have are to consolidate power with Erdogan. He wants to be the caliph. He wants to be the strong Islamic leader. So when they consolidate power, which is what happens, they put basically a dragnet, and they picked up Andrew Brunson in this dragnet approach to how they were going to handle the situation. And, Andy, they used the coup as an excuse.
That's all it was an excuse to consolidate power by doing a bunch of things. One, imprisoning journalists, imprisoning admirals and generals, judges, people that he perceived, officers in the military and elsewhere that he perceived to be possible adversaries. And Andrew Brunson, the poor man who's been there all these years, gets swept up in the tide.
And he also, Jordan said this earlier, you need to understand this, Erdogan arrests the judges.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's not just American Christian pastors right now. It is anyone who is even routinely considered someone, not really a threat to Erdogan in the sense of a military threat, but just may not always agree with him. And so this is a huge change in Turkey. There's always been strong leaders in Turkey. But it probably not since Ataturk himself have you seen someone this strong who's been able to get away with this at the international community as a member of NATO. I mean, he is not acting that much. Actually, I think he's acting more extreme than Putin domestically. What he hasn't done different from Putin, and I think they're both strongmen like that, is he's not invading other countries.
No,
he's not invading the Crimea
and
trying to annex places. But the way he's treating his own people is actually worse than how Putin would be treating dissenters in Russia.
They have a functioning judiciary, actually, in Russia.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call here.
All right, let's go to Jackie, who's calling in Ohio.
Hey, Jackie, go ahead.
Hey, Jay. Thanks, God, for everything you're doing for this pastor.
Yep.
Our prayers are going out to him
and
his family.
Yep.
My question, well, I got a couple, actually. The first one, what is this relationship with Turkey and UN going to be, being that they're being influenced by Islamists?
Well, I mean, look, the Islamic influence in Turkey over the last 10 or 15 years has been extreme. I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's been extreme, and it's continuing to consolidate. The United Nations and the European Union has been faced with a very difficult challenge, and Erdogan has basically declared himself a leader for life, and this is what you're dealing with. So, but as Andy said, I'll say it again, I'll ask Andy again, they're a NATO ally, so we have to handle this case differently than you'd handle any of the other ones.
This is true, and they are. You know, under the NATO alliance, the idea is that an attack on one is an attack on all. And technically speaking, if we're attacked, Turkey should come to our assistance and vice versa. And so because we have strong military connections with Turkey, I think that it may be that under those circumstances and with the change of our administrations, which is, I think, positive, because the Trump administration is going to have and seeking to have and will have better relationships than Obama had with the Turks, then perhaps Andrew Brunson, the pastor, will benefit from that by being hopefully released.
All right, let's do this. We're going to try to grab the rest of these calls so we can open up our last segment to your calls. So we'll take calls in the last segment of the broadcast on any topic. We'll talk about the executive order and some other things as well.
Eileen, you're on the air in California.
Hi, Eileen.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you for exposing the leaks, the shadow government, and what we're experiencing here. My parents supported you for years.
Great.
And I pray for you on a daily basis.
Thank you.
I'm so thankful for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Asking why can't the liberal media be forced to advise the people of America that this is what the former president has caused?
Well, here's what you got. I don't want to attack the media too much today because USA Today really helped us out with a very positive piece about this pastor's plight. CeCe worked with that reporter. That reporter from USA Today really got in depth on this.
He was wonderful. I mean, he understands the urgency of the matter, and he also understands that we shouldn't be dealing with this with a NATO ally.
Yeah.
So he pushed the issue, he asked the question, and it was great.
Yep.
All right, last call till we get to the next segment. And give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, because we've cleared the lines. Let's go to April in Maine on line three.
April, go ahead.
Hi, yes. My husband and I are pastors in Zambia, Africa.
Yep.
So this imprisonment of Pastor Brunson is both personal and very important. What I would like to respond to is that I'm hoping and praying that President Trump will back strongly the release of Pastor Brunson.
Yeah, so let me tell you what's happening there. Obviously, they've just come into transition and just come into power. And I think where I'm encouraged is we've seen a major shift in the last 48 hours on this case.
Yeah, I mean, I would say...
And it happened to coincide with the UN appearance today by our lawyer.
Yes, we've got that. We've got us at the UN, which embarrasses Turkey because they don't want to be seen as a human rights violator. They don't want to be looped into the groups of, like, Iran or even Saudi Arabia and those kind of countries. They want to be seen as still modern, Erdogan. And so you embarrass them there by calling them out in front of the entire world, and including U.S. officials. And then, on top of that, you've got people like bipartisan Democrats and Republicans, 78 members of Congress, including the heads of all the foreign relations, Bob Corker, who's very close to Donald Trump, the U.S. Senator from Tennessee, who's the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I think it's happening behind the scenes. It hasn't gotten to the point yet where he's got to go out necessarily and demand it by vocally, publicly, because we're already seeing the positive reactions.
Yep.
You always want to handle it as chill as possible if you can. In Saeed's case, we couldn't. In others, we haven't been able to.
All right, we've got another segment here. We want to get some phone calls.
That's right. All the lines are open right now, but they are going quick. If you want to get your voice heard, we're going to take all the calls we get in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Right back with all your calls and your comments.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's an unprecedented bureaucratic coup undermining our security. The Obama administration took action to empower the entrenched bureaucracy to subvert our national security right before leaving office. It has led to dangerous leaks, criminal violations of the Espionage Act, and the creation of a shadow government to sabotage the new administration. This dramatically endangers our national security and has led to dangerous classified leaks. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back. We're filing legal demands of the bureaucracy to, number one, expose the actions of the corrupt Obama administration, two, stop the soft coup and the rampant leak of classified information, and three, protect our national security. Add your name to our new petition to stop the shadow government and protect our national security. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, so we got Turkey, NATO ally, holding an American pastor, and they're being held by our Turkish NATO ally. You ask yourself why? Well, it's because Turkey has gone the way of Islamists, and they are exercising power. But we've had some good developments in the last 24 hours. Big story in the USA Today, our Grigor Pupunic was before the United Nations today. C.C. Howell, senior counsel for the ACLJ, has been working on this case for months. And we finally got the government to acknowledge to not tie Brunson's case directly into the situation with Fethullah Gulen, who is someone that the Erdogan administration blames for the coup. Although I think, in all probability, Erdogan created the coup. Personally, that's what I think. But having said that, it was a consolidation of power effort, and there we are. But we're getting some movement. Let's go ahead. It's our last segment, so we take all the calls we can. Let's do it.
Let's go to Dixie in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Dixie, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question about this insurance plan that they are looking at. I realize it's phase one.
Yeah, Obamacare repeal.
Are they looking at raising the costs for senior citizens on Social Security with this new plan?
Yeah. So, Jordan, you want to answer? So, first of all, this is a phase. They're being very clear here that this is a phase one approach through reconciliation. By the way, Planned Parenthood reacting strongly to the fact that they are about to be defunded. But let's talk. Let's answer that question. Then I want to get the Planned Parenthood bite ready.
It's interesting because out of all the Republican candidates, Donald Trump was the only one who said he will not change any of the existing entitlement programs like Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. Now, Medicaid may be a little different than Obamacare, but especially he doubled down on Social Security. He doubled down on Medicare as well. That was unique. Most Republican candidates have wanted to privatize, change, give people more options. There's a lot of concern about it running out of money, especially for people my age and younger. It's like we're just paying a tax for baby boomers that we're never going to get back because the government doesn't have enough money to do that. But he has promised not to. That being said, no one has ever said with any of their reform agendas that they would make you pay more.
No, it's the idea actually, is to bring the cost down.
You'd actually pay less taxes and you'd have more choice.
Yeah.
But so that's that answer.
Yeah. So let me also play. Cecilia Richards was on Greta Van Susteren's show on MSNBC. The page two of this bill, of the 123 pages, page two is defunding a Planned Parenthood because they will be a prohibited entity. She is none too happy about it.
It's very misleading when they say they're going to defund Planned Parenthood because the funds that actually come to Planned Parenthood are reimbursements for preventive services, birth control, breast cancer screenings, well woman visits.
Let me break it to you, Cecile Richards. Read the statute, the reconciliation bill. You will be a prohibited entity if you continue to be in your business, which you say is only 3% of your business. So you're willing to give up $550 million for 3% of your business? Nobody believes it. Your business is abortion. Everybody knows this. Why are you continuing to say, act like we don't know what this really is? But I think this is a part of the bill we are keeping our eye on because we want to make sure it stays in place. Grab another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Gregory, who's calling online, too. You're on the air, Gregory.
Hi, Gregory, go.
Hi, I want to thank you all for taking care of the Christians that are being falsely locked up. And I also want to thank you for sticking with this abortion problem. And
well, we are looking let me just say something for quickly on that. We have a policy position on the bill. We think there's a lot of good in this bill. But we are also looking very closely to make sure that Planned Parenthood defunding sticks. I mean, we are on that like a laser beam. So I want everybody to understand. I said this yesterday. If you look at most of the people in our control room, Ray excluded, if you look at two of the five of us that are up here, these two, Logan and Jordan, I've been fighting for the defunding of Planned Parenthood since most of our staff was about 3 years old. And we're on the threshold of seeing it. What we can't afford is some shenanigans in the United States Senate.
That's right, and we explained that yesterday. It's very difficult. Mitch McConnell would have to fold on that, and I don't see why. There's no need. They can't strip it out like an amendment. It's the will of the Senate. I do want to say, and we should tell everybody, Than Bennett, he's meeting today in Washington, D.C., our government affairs director, was meeting with the vice president yesterday of the United States in a meeting with other representatives, some groups who have taken more stronger positions opposed, who have now come out and said after meeting with Vice President Pence, they get the idea that this is phase one of multiple phases of repealing Obamacare and replacing it with better legislation.
Yep.
They're not all fully endorsing this yet, neither are we. But I will tell you this, folks.
We're supportive.
If we can defund Planned Parenthood once and for all, that $500 million that goes to the number one baby killer in the United States, I'm okay with phase one of Obama, of the Obamacare.
All right. You're okay.
I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it.
Give us a call. Hey, 1-800-684-30.
There'll be changes made.
Some people are asking for the number, 1-800-684-3110. We only got about 3 minutes, so we'll see if we can get to them. One quick comment I want to get to. They said, can you talk a little bit about Sessions? A lot of news, and people are missing it.
Yeah.
So just going to get very briefly what's going on, then we'll take a couple calls.
ACLU.
Yeah, so your friends at the American Civil Liberties Union have filed a bar complaint with the State Bar of Alabama against the Attorney General of the United States, alleging that he committed perjury. We will get into this on the broadcast Monday. I've actually thought about doing a little bit of an updated special a little bit later today on this situation, because we've not had time to get into it because we had the breaking news with Brunson. But let me tell you this, and Andy's leading our team on this. We are going to file a response on behalf of Jeff Sessions. This is not, he did not commit perjury. Andy and I have done prosecutions before. This is not perjury. But we're going to fight back on this because the ACLU is doing this nationally.
Absolutely intend to do that. This is a scurrilous attack by a scurrilous organization, I should say. And this is nationally. This is not the local ACLU in Alabama, if there is such a creature. But this is an attempt to discredit one of the most professional persons, one of the man with utmost integrity and honor, who has become Attorney General of the United States, who was a federal prosecutor in Mobile, Alabama, who fought for civil rights, although there was claims that he, you know,
but
did not do that. And this is nonsense.
This perjury is, again, this is this coming now. This time is coming from an organization, the ACLU. But we got to be prepared for this, folks. So that's why we're litigating. It's another reason why you need to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
Trying to take a couple more calls. Yep. Joyce in Indiana, you're on
Joyce,
the air.
Go ahead, very quickly.
Hi, I love your program.
Thank you.
Thank you. My question is, who is in competition with this Erdogan? As far
nobody.
As
Turkey's a unitary executive in the truest sense of the word. He has no competition. He's basically become the dictator for life.
Yeah, so this prime minister speaks for him. I mean, it's not like this is an independent actor.
No, right. And they have elections, but it's meaningless. They've moved in a completely different direction. Let's grab the last call.
All right, Sharon, Arizona, you're up. Last call.
All right, Sharon.
I have a question. So many states are coming against Trump's new program to protect us against illegal aliens. What basis are they putting that
Three
on?
Three things. They're arguing that the ban violates the due process clause. They're arguing both substantive and due process, procedural due process, and also it violates the establishment clause because, quote, it targets Muslims. It's not true. We're going to get into this next week in great detail.
Yeah,
but
let me give
quickly.
You a quick rundown. We were filing a brief Monday, same time the Department of Justice will, in response to Hawaii's lawsuit on behalf of their joining with a Muslim Syrian who is mad they can't bring their mother here, even though that is exempted under the executive order for family members because they're U.S. citizens. Then you've got CARE. So, by the way, the Hawaii's Ninth Circuit, again.
It's all Ninth.
CARE, Fourth Circuit. That's the Council of American Islamic Relations. But back to the Ninth Circuit, Washington, New York, Oregon, and Minnesota. And then also People of USA and People of State of California versus Trump, which sounds like California, very communist sounding. We're going to be filing briefs on this. I will tell you, folks, I got asked, Will this be back in the Ninth Circuit on Monday? Yes, it will.
Yeah, it may not be Monday when it's there, but it'll be there within a week or two. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Have a good weekend, everybody, and connect on.
Yeah, ACLJ.org. You can get everything you need or find us on social media or the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Talk to you next week.
It's an unprecedented bureaucratic coup undermining our security. The Obama administration took action to empower the entrenched bureaucracy to subvert our national security right before leaving office. Add your name to our new petition to stop the shadow government and protect our national security. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online.